It's election season here in Idaho. In less than a month, voters will go to the polls and see two names at the top of the ballot, Paulette Jordan, the Democratic candidate for Idaho governor, and Brad Little, the Republican candidate. We've reached out to both campaigns for a visit to Idaho Matters. And today, we speak with Paulette Jordan. Hailing from northern Idaho, Ms. Jordan beat A.J. Belukoff in the Democratic primary in a contest that seemed to energize the party within the state. And out of state, she's attracted attention with interviews from national outlets. Do you, the listener, have questions today? We've got our Twitter feed open, as long as you use the hashtag Idaho Matters. Joining us in the studio, Paulette Jordan. Welcome.
Thanks. I appreciate all of you having me here this morning. It's a beautiful day, so we're excited to engage with our citizens as much as possible.
We'll start with an issue we talk a lot about on Idaho Matters, and that's education. At your recent debate at the College of Idaho with your Republican opponent, Brad Little, there was disagreement on pay scale of Idaho teachers. Little said, we lead the nation in, quote, increase in teacher pay. And you said Idaho is at the bottom of teacher pay. How do you see it? And more importantly, how would you address the issue?
I would say that we're not progressive enough. We're not bold enough in taking leadership or direct action when it comes to education. You could certainly spread the rhetoric and fool people by saying we're funding education enough, but I will say that we are underfunding education. We have divested in education over the years, which is why we are at the bottom on almost every single ranking in the state of Idaho or across the country. It's unfortunate because we were just ranked 50th in the country when it comes to teacher pay. And yet I hear from my opposition that we're doing quite well in teacher pay. I would say that why I contradict that or why I disagree with that statement is Idaho can do better. We have multiple states around us who pay either twice as much or just much more when it comes to competitive rates as far as their salaries go. We have to be more aggressive in our approach to ensure that we're paying our teachers adequately, ensuring that we're not overtaxing our citizens at the local level, especially when it comes down to supplemental levies, which we are now increasing in every single district, more and more supplemental levies when it comes down to every single district within the state. We don't want to see more supplemental levies in our state. We want to make sure that we're funding our education system appropriately when it comes down to getting back to 2009 appropriation levels and ensuring that we have increased education investments towards enrollment increases, which we've had with our growing population, on top of inflation. So we have to really get back to doing a true comprehensive study on what's necessary to ensure that we have the resources. We're advancing technology within our schools. We have STEM programming. We're ensuring that our kids have the more updated curriculum that we need to be as innovative as possible. And then, of course, ensuring that we have a competitive teacher salary to bring our teachers back into our state or keep them within. Because right now, I see as a parent, most teachers leaving our state. And that has left many school districts opening up their first day of school without teachers in the classroom.
Thank you.
On top of the growing classroom sizes.
Thank you. On the environment side, just this week, there's a recent UN climate report that said with great urgency, there's national and local governments have to act now. Listen, nearby states are addressing this at the state level, vehicle emissions, some with carbon tax. If elected, what would you do with finite state resources to adapt to climate change?
Thanks for that question. One thing that people forget about is we do have finite resources, including water. So we want to be mindful of how we move forward in best practices for clean energy, sustainable solutions. It'll come back to ensuring that we have a multi-part plan, which is integrative with geothermal. Those of us here in Boise know geothermal energy has been very productive and highly incorporative to decarbonizing our city. For those of us who know biomass in the rural sectors of Idaho, it could be a very productive energy use.
And yet you say we're spending more on utilities in other parts of the state, as
right.
you said at your
yes,
recent debate with Mr. Little.
Yes, we are increasing utilities. You know, we have the four Snake River dams that we constantly upkeep. Hundreds of millions of dollars goes towards the upkeeping on top of the fish mitigation via those dams and at the taxpayers' expense, including the high rates of utilities. And we have monopolized our hydropower energy company here in the state, which has reduced the rights of local citizens to have independence in their energy sector, which would be more complementary if citizens were able to have small grid systems or independent solar systems to help offset their costs, which is what we want. I'm all about energy sovereignty, energy independence, which is why I'm promoting clean energy renewables with solar and wind power, generating, even utilizing the generation of our hydropower systems, but really working with net metering in our local companies.
Speaking of energy, at your City Club speech in Idaho Falls, you spoke about the virtues of INL, the Idaho National Laboratory. That might have surprised some progressive Democrats who differ with the agency on some policies. What would INL's role be in a Jordan government?
INL does play a critical role in terms of energy sovereignty moving forward. We want to be the energy leader of the West. We have a prime opportunity utilizing the material, utilizing the research, the studies that are founded through the Idaho National Laboratory, working in partnership with the Department of Energy. I think there's a collaborative effort for the state of Idaho to really breach into the opportunity of not only serving the entire Western region with energy, but utilizing some of those innovative developments with clean energy that they've done with electric vehicles.
Right.
Looking at smaller energy grid systems and how to off-ramp clean energy into the grid system for the state of Idaho on top of their cybersecurity and other advancements that they've made.
Another regional issue like climate change is transportation. You spoke about this in your recent debate in Caldwell. And here at Boise State Public Radio, we had a panel of five mayors of the Treasure Valley along with Idaho statesmen. And they all said, hey, a local option tax would help us here. As governor, would you write that into law?
Absolutely. That has been a part of my platform. Ensuring that we protect local control, serving our citizens best by allowing them to have a seat at the table and make decisions that best suits them in their local towns and communities. I'm promoting deregulation at that level so that mayors and city council members can really do what's right by their citizens, whether they want to adjust their budget for addressing roads and bridges or building a new school or a new community center like a public library. Our citizens have a right to have a seat at the table and a voice. So as governor, I want to ensure that we are not preempting those rights and getting back to smaller government and the traditional values of our state. But it also goes back to supporting local authorities, local decision makers. And this is why I'm also promoting local control and local option tax.
We're speaking with Paulette Jordan, the Democratic candidate for governor. You'll have the opportunity to hear Paulette Jordan, Brad Little in a live debate that will broadcast live on this station this coming Monday, October 15th. At 8 p.m. I'm going to ask you about some clarity over an issue that's still bouncing around. The Coeur d'Alene Tribe has created a PAC, a political action committee. What is your involvement with that PAC?
Well, first of all, it's not my PAC, but the intent of that is to, by the tribe, to involve themselves in support of other campaigns, as they have the right to do so.
You currently get an F from the NRA, and your stance on AR-15s has been a little unclear. And here's one of those impossible questions, perhaps. How do you balance Idahoans' concerns about maintaining their gun rights with those pushing for increased gun control?
Let's be clear. I have not had any interaction with the NRA, so I don't know how they could give me a rating without asking me that question. I will tell you that semi-automatic assault rifles are owned by family members of mine. I am a Second Amendment supporter and defender, and as a gun owner and a trained and certified CCW gun owner, I will tell folks that I am here from Idaho. This is my culture. So with the misrepresentation that is out there, facts should be there and lie for itself as far as what's out there on the table. So I'm definitely a Second Amendment supporter and a gun owner. And I want to make sure that people understand that because I hear the rhetoric, the rumors, and the lies. It's unfortunate. This is the first that I've heard that the NRA has stated that as far as any rating goes, you should actually ask the candidate where they stand on this issue versus assuming where they are.
Thank you. If elected, you could tick off some firsts in Idaho. First female governor here, first Native American governor, and first Democrat in quite a while. There's been some energy around these firsts, but win or lose, what's the future of the Democratic Party in Idaho? Has anything changed in the grassroots level?
By far, the grassroots level, people are showing that whether they're independent or libertarian, like myself, I'm rural Idaho. I'm just simply Idahoan. We're not here to promote any political party system. We're here to defend the rights of the citizens and the voice of the people.
Do you feel this is structural change here that's happening in the Idaho Democratic Party?
Structural change?
Yeah.
What do you mean by structural?
Grassroots on the level?
Well, grassroots itself is about the people's movement, the people having a right to the say in their government. They have a right to fight for their concerns and their needs. So that's really what it comes down to.
You've been great on these questions, and we're entering the lightning round now in the few minutes left.
I thought this was your lightning round.
Okay.
You weren't allowing me to finish my questions.
Proposition 1, horse racing, yay or nay?
Proposition, I support the will of the people, Prop 1.
Prop 2, expanding health coverage, yay or nay?
Absolutely. As a champion of an advocate of expanding Medicaid, I advocate for people to vote yes.
Governor Otter has a lawsuit around the sage grouse. In general, would you... If elected, would you drop that lawsuit?
I stand with our Idaho State U.S. Attorney, Bart Davis, and I definitely support that he has asked for the dismissal of that case.
We'll get a chance to meet the lieutenant governor on the Democratic ticket, that is, a candidate, during the debates we'll be broadcasting. But tell us something about Kristen Cullum.
Kristen Cullum is a great advocate of Idaho citizens. As a veteran, I fully support her, especially when she stands and defends military rights. And as she served our country, I think she would be a great lieutenant governor for the state of Idaho.
You're doing great at these short answers.
I'm concerned you're going to interrupt me again, so that's
I'm trying
to keep them as short as possible. So,
in the time remaining, this is the say something nice about your opponent. What do you like about Mr. Little?
Lieutenant Governor Brad Little, he has been, aside from politics, we have been good friends, I would assume, because we have been very cordial to one another in passing. I really appreciate his wife and her good nature. And, of course, you know, we always have respect for each other's families. So I like to keep things very professional in that regard.
Ms. Jordan, you only declared, 14 months ago? You've been involved in politics, of course, for years. Mm-hmm. What have you learned about state politics in the past year?
State politics is in itself challenging in some ways. You know, I don't agree with the rhetoric and lies and the lack of transparency. I value integrity in everything that we do, and because there's really a great need for ethics and controls in terms of how we have a high need for an inspector general, people should have access to their government. So I see a lot of these challenges still at play, and this is why, as governor, I will seek to ensure that we have not only an inspector general, but a strong ethics commission to serve the needs and the rights of the people to have an open understanding and direct connection to their government. There should be trust.
The Democratic candidate for Idaho, Governor Paulette Jordan. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. This has been interesting.